You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. In the last hours, a so-called suitcase killer, Sarah Boone, shows no emotion in court as a jury hands down a verdict. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. In the last days, Sarah Boone, the so-called suitcase killer, found guilty of second-degree murder after her boyfriend was found, quote, stiff and purple, zipped inside of a suitcase. What happened?
All we had was a bottle of wine. Literally, just a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Then we decided to play hide and seek. That's all that happened.
Okay. Girl, a bottle of wine is not a defense. But I want to warn you. She filmed herself, there's no doubt about that, as she sat there and watched her boyfriend die in a suitcase. Let me warn you, this is very disturbing. I told you, she filmed herself as she watched her boyfriend die in a suitcase during an alleged game of hide and seek while she throws back a couple of glasses of wine. You know, we got the video.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
Stupid.
Sarah.
That's my name. Don't wear it up.
Sarah. I can't f*** you, babe. Seriously.
Yeah, that's when you do when you choke me.
Sarah. Sarah, I can't breathe, babe.
That's on you.
Sarah, I can't breathe.
It's on you.
Sarah.
Reel around some. Might want to get video for it extra. Because I got this.
Sarah.
Reel around
Sarah.
Some.
Sarah, I can't breathe, babe.
Oh. That's what Sarah. I feel like when you chew on me.
Sarah. Please, Sarah.
Yeah. You should probably shut
Sarah.
Up.
I had to watch that myself to make sure I knew what really happened. Did she actually film herself? Guys, I want you to hear, first of all, the 911 call. Listen.
911, what is the location of your emergency?
4748 France Court, apartment 3.
Is this a police or medical?
My boyfriend is dead.
Okay, send a line for the fire department. Do not hang up.
Tell me exactly what happened there.
My boyfriend and I were playing last night, and I put him in a case when we were playing. And
okay.
Like kind of hide and seek kind of thing, so I fell asleep and I woke up and he was dead in the suitcase, so I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
You don't know what happened. You just told us what happened. You put your boyfriend in a suitcase. He didn't crawl in there. It was not his idea. You zip it up and now he's dead. We were playing. Wow. That's just what the Long Island serial killer said about all of his victims. They were playing. Then they were tortured, mutilated, and murdered. Let's analyze what we just heard. Joining me, Stephanie Buffamonte, investigative reporter, Fox 35 Orlando. But first, to defense attorney Philip Dubé, who has a very interesting numerology defense in this case. Dubé, no stranger to a courtroom with the L.A. County Public Defender's Office. Philip Dubé. Did you hear? She was completely deadpan. My boyfriend is dead. Just like that. How would you battle that in court? What, try to suppress the 911 call?
Oh, no. First of all, you got to remember, she just came off a bender. You know, she was probably still hungover from the night before because I think they guzzled down an entire bottle of wine. But you got to remember, too, she was
Hold on, Bay. Don't drag him into her wine bottle, okay? Yeah. We don't know he was in the bottle.
In
we
it.
Know she was, because I can hear her between sentences going, Okay, so go ahead.
Well, legally, the wine does not help her under Florida law because voluntary intoxication is no more a defense there.
I appreciate what you're saying about voluntary use of drugs or alcohol is not a defense in Florida. That's everywhere. But I'm asking you about her saying, my boyfriend's dead. It's like she might as well be saying, you know, hey, let me order two Chick-fil-A sandwiches and a Diet Coke. That's what it sounds like. And you would actually tell a jury it's because she's hungover. You don't think finding his dead body in a suitcase might just wake her up?
She's also numb from years of abuse from him. Don't you remember what she said in the clip? She said, now, you know, you can't breathe. Now you know what it's like all those times you were choking me. So it sounds like that she was exercising dominion and control over him so he wouldn't ever harm her again.
Oh, you mean revenge?
No, I'm talking about being a battered.
It's very clear she brought that up, but she's angry because she thinks he cheated on her.
Yeah. So, it's a hybrid, you know, of emotions.
What the revenge is over, whether it's alleged choking or alleged cheating, again, just like voluntary use of drugs or alcohol is not a defense, revenge is not a defense. Not a defense. Accident, 100% a defense, a total defense. Self-defense, 100%. A defense. Insanity would be an affirmative defense where you say, I did it, but I was crazy. But revenge is not a defense. Hold on. Let's see what else we can learn from the 911 call. Then we're going to revisit her video. Listen.
Yes, like he has like blood coming out of his mouth, and I don't know if like he had like an aneurysm or something.
Right, okay, all right, okay. Listen, we're getting help out there too. All right, okay. Okay,
now?
Okay, 40. Yeah, man, listen, we're on our way out there. Okay, is he hanging from somewhere or what, ma'am?
No, I pulled him out of the suitcase. I tried giving him CPR.
Okay, so he was in a suitcase?
Yes, and I fell asleep.
Okay, how old is the boyfriend, ma'am? 42-year-old man.
Fell asleep while the boyfriend still zipped up begging in a suitcase. Dr. Kendall Crowns is joining me, renowned chief medical examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, never a lack of business in Dallas-Fort Worth, lecturer at the esteemed Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, why would a person be purple?
Why would they be purple? Well, that could be from postmortem lividity. That's as their heart stops, the blood pools and it gets kind of this purple coloration. It could also be from the fact that he has a lack of oxygen for a prolonged period of time. So instead of his blood having that red coloration, it has a more purplish kind of hue to it.
Hold on. First of all, I've got to understand what you're saying. Lividity. That means, in regular people talk, for instance, you lay down on your bed, on your back, and you die. I'm not going to discuss why right. You die, but you die. The blood in your body, since your heart is no longer pumping, the blood settles to the lowest point, which would mean all your blood settles in your back, your rear end, maybe the back of your legs. Blood goes down to the lowest point. Lividity. I understand that, but his whole body is purple. So I would think that a suitcase is not airtight. So it's not a matter of having no air, even if you don't have enough air. You die?
Correct. Over time, you're not getting enough oxygen, so you're not getting enough oxygen to your body's tissues, your organs, of things of that nature. He's in a restricted environment. He's probably balled up in kind of a fetus position, making it very difficult to breathe. So he is dying a slow death of asphyxiation or lack of oxygen getting to
him. So that would be positional asphyxiation?
Yes.
Okay, guys, before we go to Stephanie Buffamonte, listen to more of the 911.
All right, listen to me. Okay, I just need to confirm this one. All right, I understand. I just need to confirm this. Is he awake at all? Is he conscious at all?
No, he's purple.
Is he breathing?
No.
All right. I need you to get him on the floor, flat on his back for me, okay?
I did. I tried giving him CPR.
All right.
I tried giving him CPR.
Yeah, okay. Wait,
nothing happened. He's purple.
Well, she's calm as a cucumber. Now joining me, investigative reporter, Fox 35 Orlando, Stephanie Buffamonte. Stephanie, thank you for being with us. Tell me what happened.
So what we're seeing is that cell phone video shows what happened that night. So there are two videos, one taken at 8:20 and then one taken just after 11 o'clock. And in one video, you'll see the suitcase is flipped the other way. And when she was asked about this later by investigators, she, you know, they were saying, hey, you know, did you move the suitcase? And she said she moved it from one side to the other. And then you hear her in this video saying these really horrendous things. This guy is pleading for his life, saying, Sarah, Sarah, I can't breathe. And she's laughing. She is laughing and telling him to shut up as he can't breathe and is suffocating in this suitcase as we
speak. Stephanie Buffamonte joining me, investigative reporter, Fox 35 Orlando. Stephanie, you state that she, Sarah Boone, said horrific things while the boyfriend is dying. Like what? What did she say?
So she was saying, shut up. This is what it feels like when you choke me. This is what it feels like when you cheat on me. And she sounds, you know, vengeful. I mean, that's what investigators were saying in that interrogation room with her, saying she was sounding malicious, saying that she was laughing at him. And we can hear her laughing at him as he is pleading for his life. But that part where she talks about, this is how I feel when you choke me, kind of speaks to their previous relation of domestic abuse, which we know he had been arrested for previously in their relationship.
You know what? That may be true. And I don't like that. But the death penalty meted out by her is not the answer under our jurisprudence. He was in the suitcase for 3 hours before she went to bed. There is a video at 8:20 and a video just after 11 p.m. During that time, she flips over the suitcase. I wonder why. Joining me, an all-star panel in addition to Dr. Kendall Crowns, Philip Dubé, defense attorney, and Stephanie Buffamonte, to Dr. Bethany Marshall, a renowned psychoanalyst joining us out of LA. She's at drbethanymarshall.com, and you can see her right now on Peacock. She's the author of Deal Breaker. Dr. Bethany, weigh in.
Well, in terms of domestic abuse, one of the reports read that when the officers responded, they weren't sure who was the aggressor and who was the victim. So let's just take that off the table.
Whoa, wait a minute. Dr. Bethany Marshall, slow down. What did you say?
When I was reading the reports, according to the responding officers who responded to the domestic, I'm not sure who placed the phone call, if she did or he did, but according to the report, they were not sure who was the aggressor and who was the victim. So I think we have to look into that further before deciding that as a defense, even though we know it is not a defense at all. I would be interested in looking at her online searches. This is a person who wanted to kill him. Let's be clear. She thought about this for a long, long time. She thought about the most heinous and cruel way to do it. You do not end up in a suitcase because you're playing hide and seek, right? You can't zip the suitcase up yourself. You are lured into the suitcase. Maybe you're given a couple glasses of wine. Maybe you're told this is a part of sex play or something funny that the two of you are doing together. Or let's just experiment with zipping up the suitcase and then I'm going to unzip it and then we'll have sex. You know, something like that. So she lured him. And it's not clear if he really cheated on her or choked her. You know, I had a patient once where she was a very high level professional. He would wake up in the middle of the night with his wife kicking him. She would just viciously kick him. And he came to therapy saying, oh, Dr. Marshall, I must have done so many things wrong. And I said to him, you didn't do anything wrong. She just hates you and she's malicious and she wants to kick you. And so I think sometimes, you know, this cruel as a cucumber voice, we have to remember that some people are just cruel, mean, homicidal, and they come up with reasons after the fact.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Sarah Boone from upscale Winter Park, Florida, has been on trial for weeks in relation to the death of her boyfriend, Jorge Torres. During the sentencing, she remains completely emotionless as the judge, Judge Kranick, reads out the jury verdict. The verdict, guilty of murder 2. But why?
My boyfriend is dead. I woke up and he was dead in the suitcase, so I don't know what happened.
Is he awake at all? Is he conscious at all?
No. He's purple.
Is he breathing?
No.
All right, okay.
He's dead and purple. We are playing hide and seek.
According to the medical examiner, the victim had been in the suitcase for at least 11 hours. We also learn, according to the autopsy report, that the victim had a black eye and other bruises and cuts on his head. His back and hands were covered in abrasions, bruises, and cuts, indicating blunt impacts across the body. Now, this is according to the medical examiner. Did she beat him with a blunt object while he's in the suitcase? Now, when police arrive the very next day, this is after he's been in the suitcase at least 11 hours, Sarah Boone's demeanor.
I just got here, so fill me in.
No problem. Like, yeah, he and I were putting a puzzle together. We've been doing some artwork right together.
You were putting a puzzle together?
Yes, we have a puzzle that we started in there.
Okay.
We've been doing art, trying to take the stuff off the wall to make new art put up there, like having a good time with one another. But we're drinking. We had a bottle of wine last night.
Okay.
Fine. So then it's like, we decided to play hide and seek, right?
Okay.
So he gets in the suitcase, okay?
Who is this guy?
That's my ex-husband. My former husband.
He lives here with you guys?
No. I called him over here.
Okay.
If you don't trust your own eyes, I'm like, who should I believe? Her or my lying eyes? Straight out to Robin Dreek. Why? Because he is a behavior expert and former FBI special agent, chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, author of Unbreakable Alliances, a Spy Recruiter's Authoritative Guide to Cultivating Powerful and Lasting Connections. Okay, I'm more interested in the book Sizing People Up, a veteran FBI agent's manual for behavior prediction. Okay, Drake, thank you for joining us. Analyze what you just saw.
Well, not just in this moment, her lack of effect, as we've been saying throughout the show so far, and her entire demeanor and behavior really strikes as a really great case of obsessive compulsive personality disorder. She has a zero ability to have empathy or impact with any human beings emotionally. And we're seeing it in everything that we've seen so far. And also this whole notion that she's being abused. Okay, then how did she get him to get in that suitcase if she didn't have a great high level of manipulation as well?
Okay, wait, explain that reasoning right there.
So how do you get a guy that is supposedly abusing you to get into a suitcase? I mean, it took her to convince him or manipulate him or inspire him to get inside. Then he allowed her to zip him up. And how? Why? You know, it's also interesting, too. I know we've mentioned it briefly, but the alcohol involved here, 40% of homicides involve alcohol. That is a huge number, and I think it's plays a huge part in this because it lowers the inhibition, as we've already said from your other guests. This is something she pre-planned. It's something that was in her mind to do. When you lower that inhibition with the 40% of, you know, homicide perpetrators use alcohol as that lower inhibition tool in their lives, this is a result. And again, that we're seeing this total need to control in her courtroom appearances, in that she got rid of all of her other defense attorneys. And what more control do you have when you actually kill someone by putting them into a suitcase? That is the ultimate form of control of death.
You know what? Stephanie Buffamonte joining us, investigative reporter, Fox 35 Orlando. When Robin Dreek just said she's been through a few attorneys, she's been through 8 attorneys at my last count. And several of them, according to my notes, state they're leaving because of irreconcilable differences with her. She also pulled several stunts with staples and gym clips, stapling up her clothes. She gets angry when her cell is searched. But I find it really interesting and possibly even probative, although the jury will never know this, that she has lost 8 lawyers. They're like a parade of defense attorneys. And when a defense attorney who represents killers, child molesters, dope dealers says, I can't take this woman, I'm out of here, that tells me something.
Yeah, I mean, to go through that many attorneys, and all of those attorneys said that she was extremely difficult to work with. One of them even saying that they don't think anybody could defend her just because she is difficult. She walked out of meetings when they were trying to talk about her case. And if I can come back up on camera, I want to show you something. This is the flyer that she used to get her latest attorney, which is her 9th attorney, who is going to be representing her in her trial starting on October 7th. And she wrote this in her jail cell and then put it out online. And this is what the attorney said is what brought him to her and why he decided to represent her. He saw this on social media. So, yeah, she's on.
What does it say, Stephanie?
I'll read it to you because it's very interesting. I've never seen something like this before. It says, inmate seeks attorney. Show the world who you are with your original creativity, extraordinary expertise, confident. Qualifications must be trustworthy, honest, passion-driven, open-minded. Epic opportunity awaits. I mean, have you ever seen something like this?
No, I have not. Philip Dubay joining us, veteran trial lawyer out of L.A. What about it, Dubay? You ever had a flyer and answered an ad, basically a classified ad for an alleged killer?
Not a classified ad, but I have seen inmates do similar things. You know, they feel that their case is going to garner enough attention to put counsel in the limelight and generate future business. In the end, it's sort of a marketing ploy. Take my case. I can't pay you, but you'll have a future income stream based on all the media throng tied to my case. I have seen those.
You know, Dr. Bethany Marshall, you were right on point, because if you take a close look at the domestic violence claims, they were fighting with each other. She has a battery by strangulation against him. And every time she called the cops on him, she drops charges and bails him out of jail. So they're fighting with each other. And she has a strangulation charge against her on him.
That's right. And we know that abusers always accuse the victims of abusing them. It's a strange reversal. So that might also be what's happening when he's in the suitcase. You know, when she says, you cheated on me, I imagine they were at a bar and he smiled at a woman. I mean, with people like this, it's the most innocuous of events that make them feel deflated and then aggressive and want to have revenge. I think this help wanted ad for an attorney is very telling. What it tells me is she's very grandiose. She thinks she's going to be the next Casey Anthony. And she thinks she's giving this an attorney an opportunity, and she's manipulating him.
Sarah Boone, a Florida woman, charged with cajoling, manipulating her boyfriend into a suitcase during an alleged game of hide and seek. And she leaves him there for 11 hours until he dies, taunting him the entire time. Listen.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
For everything you've done to me.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
F*** you.
Sarah.
Stupid.
Sarah.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Sarah. I can't f*** you, babe. Seriously.
Yeah, that's when you do when you choke me.
Sarah, I can't breathe, babe.
That's on you.
Sarah, I can't breathe.
It's on you.
Sarah.
Reel or ransom. I want to get video for it extra. Because I got this.
Sarah.
Reel or ransom.
Sarah, I can't breathe, babe.
Oh. That's what Sarah. I feel like when you chingle me.
Sarah. please, Sarah.
Yeah. You should probably shut up.
You know, I'm not sure that I believe what she's saying. Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, psychoanalyst out of L.A. How could he be in the suitcase and zip it up from the inside?
He could not zip up the suitcase from the inside. So this whole hide and seek thing, a three-year-old knows that when you play hide and seek, you do it without the other person knowing. So she's really made up the defense after the fact, hasn't she? She lured him there. And I'm very curious about how she might have lured him there. I'm guessing, as I said earlier, that she's thought about this for a long, long time. She planned this. She didn't want to poison him, didn't want to stab him. That's too obvious. So dressing it up as sex play, you know, you get in the suitcase and then we're going to have a lot of fun afterwards. That's what she did. She made up sort of a fictitious game that they were playing to put him in that suitcase. And you know, Nancy, do you see that suitcase heaving as she's watching? It's like he's trying to expand his body to get some space to breathe. And also we have to acknowledge the sadism involved in this. I mean, who of us are not claustrophobic in some cases? So putting him in a claustrophobic situation is incredible cruelty. It's not, you know, putting out your cigarette butts on him. It's not strangling him. It's not pulling out his fingernails, but it is incredibly psychologically cruel.
I'm just very curious how he ends up in that suitcase and whether he zipped himself in. I think that's impossible. She had to zip him in. Stephanie Buffamonte joining us from Fox 35. Stephanie, do we know the size of that suitcase?
I don't know the exact size, but you can kind of see in the room where it's placed. It looks like your average suitcase, not super big, but she said it was something that they were using. It was downstairs because they were going to bring clothes to Goodwill. And to Bethany's point, investigators say he was actually trying to be put, it looked like he was pushing himself, trying to push himself out of the suitcase. Now, Sarah admitted to zipping up the suitcase. She said she zipped it up, but she said that she thought that there were, he had two fingers out where he was going to be able to unzip it. But you can see in the video, the suitcase is flipped the other way. So if you think of it like how you're packing for vacation, you open it up, you know, that's the thin layer on top, but it was flipped the other way around in that later video.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, what is it with murder and suitcases that there has to, I mean, I've got so many suitcase examples, real life cases where people were killed in, disposed of in, left in suitcases. There's got to be some psychological or psychiatric connection.
Well, I think it's the most convenient way to transport something, right? So if you want to hide a body, put the body in the suitcase. But in this particular case, Sarah Boone, I think she wanted to create a claustrophobic situation for him. I think she wanted to put him in something where she could still hear him. He could breathe a tiny little bit so she could taunt and torment and torture him over time. And from this standpoint, the suitcase seems quite convenient. I mean, disposing of a child in a field and putting them in a suitcase just seems like you haven't adequately prepared the dump site. In this case, she thought about this. She prepared this. She may have even said, hey, sweetie, let's go take clothes to the Goodwill so that she could put the suitcase downstairs and then put him in it.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, dare I disagree with you on a psychological point, but I think there's more to it.
All right.
The act of putting someone in a suitcase, you're packing them away. They're like an object. You zip it up and leave them. They're out of your purview. They're out of your mind. Basically dehumanizing them. You said it's an easy way to transport somebody. It's leaking blood and human bodily fluids. The act of transporting someone in a suitcase, that's got to mean something. I mean, I'm coming to you for expertise, Dr. Bethany, not say, oh, yeah, well, you can carry the body really, really easily, you know, in a rollerboard. not what I was expecting, Bethany.
Okay. Two things come to mind. The cases we've covered.
Dig deep.
Okay, dig deep. That women and their families who have been put in tunnels, secreted away behind a door so that the perpetrator can have absolute control over them, or children or women who have been buried and in terms of an act of cruelty, so they suffocate alive. And I think that there's some confluence of factors here where the perpetrator wants absolute control over the victim, and being able to transport them wherever you want is also a form of control.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. After losing many, many defense attorneys, her current defense attorney, James Owen, said outside the courthouse, Boone was, quote, in shock at the verdict. Really? I'm not shocked at all. And this is why. Listen to what happened.
Wait, yeah, he and I were putting a puzzle together. We've been doing some artwork right there.
You were putting a puzzle together?
Yes, we have a puzzle that we started in there.
Okay.
We've been doing art, trying to take the stuff off the wall to make new art put up there, like having a good time with one another. But we're drinking. We had a bottle of wine last night.
Okay.
Wow. So then it's like, we decided to play hide and seek, right?
Okay.
So he gets in the suitcase, okay?
Who is this guy?
That's my ex-husband, my former husband.
How did he live here with you guys?
No. I called him over here.
Okay.
Wait a minute. How'd the former husband get there before the police or the EMTs? I guess he has some stories he could tell. Stephanie Buffamonte joining us, Fox 35. She called the husband, her ex-husband, to the scene before she called paramedics to try to save the victim?
Yes. So she called her ex-husband first. He came over, and then she said about 5 minutes after he came over, she then called 911. And what's interesting, if you watch the body cam video, the ex-husband had said he had been calling her all morning because she was supposed to take care of their kid or something like that, and that she was known to be drunk a lot of the times. And then he also talked about their relationship being so rocky and that there had been domestic abuse before. So he kind of was already telling deputies right away that she has had problems before. We also heard from investigators that they spoke to her neighbors, who kind of painted the same picture of her, someone who gets drunk a lot and, you know, hears issues with the two of them in their apartment.
Guys, you got to hear this. Take a listen to her speaking to police, where she complains she's the one suffering.
And then I called him while I was doing CPR.
What time did you start, probably? You give me a rough ballpark. Here, let me fill this deputy in, okay?
Please, may I have my Dr. Pepper? I am so cut now right now.
Ma'am, and you can't talk to him until we get done with this, okay?
Just don't leave, okay, Brian?
Thank you, ma'am.
Dr. Bethany, she's suffering because she has, quote, dry mouth. I've got severe cotton mouth. May I have my Dr. Pepper?
Nancy, she's really
she
drunk.
She can't claim she's drunk this time. Okay? She's totally sober.
Well, actually, when you drink a lot, you do get thirsty. That's one of the signs that I hear. So
are you
anyway,
actually saying that to me? Or did you actually say that? First, you say a suitcase is a great way to transport a dead body. Now you're defending her with her cotton mouth?
Okay.
Who killed Dr.
Here.
Bethany
okay.
and is wearing her skin?
I think it's fascinating that she's already thought of the defense before she calls the police, right? She says this is a happy domestic situation. In so many words, they're putting together a puzzle. They're going to remove art from the wall. It's sort of like there's this cozy domestic situation going on between the two of them. And Except that he's dead. But she's thought a long time about this, Nancy.
Robin Drake, help me out. You're the chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. He's dead. He's purple. And she's whining that she has cotton mouth and she demands her Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it's all about her. Everything's all about her. And we're seeing this life arc of her that we're even getting a glimpse of it from her ex-husband, is saying a pattern of substance abuse, a pattern of self-centeredness, that the child, if there's a child involved here, it sounds like the child lives with him. And then really interesting language that she's using as well. She, in one of the statements, she said, "I put him in a suitcase," not "he got in the suitcase." It was "I put in." Then she counters it at a later time saying that "he got in." So which is it? I think, again, it goes back to the self-centeredness, control, and I'm on board with you, with she completely objectified him, dehumanized him by putting him in a suitcase like a thing, like an object.
Okay, here's one more thing. You know, she's really got to get her sleep. Listen.
I don't know what happened.
Okay. And then you weren't sure about if you woke up this morning.
It was afternoon. I mean, I was
or
late
this afternoon,
but I just didn't want to come downstairs. So
okay.
I just laid in the bed for a little while, and then I eventually came downstairs and was confused about where he was, and then I was like, oh my God, he's in the suitcase still. So I pulled him out, and I stretched him out, and I started to try to do CPR on him.
Okay.
I called you guys. Well, I called Brian.
Okay.
And then as soon as he got here, which is 30 seconds down the road, I called you guys.
Philip Dubé, veteran defense attorney, joining us out of L.A. So she just decided to sleep in that morning. Didn't want to come downstairs. I guess didn't want to see the dead body in the suitcase. Do you really believe she slept through the night with him in a suitcase? And then the next morning decided to just sleep in, have a nice long nap.
Yeah, I do. The blasé cavalier attitude about it tells us that she was probably a little hungover, that she slept the night through from having down 3-4 glasses of wine. It probably really loosened her up to the point where she just nodded off, fell asleep, woke up, and then when she realized what she had done, she picks up the phone and called 911 in a panic. You know, usually in the suitcase homicides, Nancy, what they do is they leave the body in the suitcase and they find the appropriate dumping spot to get rid of it, to try to cover it up. She didn't do that. The first thing she told 911 is she tried to give him mouth to mouth. She tried to give him mouth to mouth.
You think you're the only one that's tried a lot of homicides? Listen, killers aren't always rocket scientists. They're not brain surgeons. They're not like Bethany or Dr. Kendall Crowns. You want me to give her a gold star, what, an A plus, because she didn't dispose of the body?
No, her mouth got her into the biggest trouble, if you want to be honest about it. She ran
her mouth.
No,
I would say zipping her boyfriend into the suitcase and letting him die while she taunts him is what got her into trouble. And to you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, if they split a bottle of wine, which I don't know that they even did that, and they split it right down the middle so she had 2 glasses, 3 glasses, maybe, and that makes her sleep till 1 o'clock the next day, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised by that too, because 3 glasses of wine would put her blood alcohol at about 0.06. So she's not even at the legal limit for intoxication. So I don't think she's wiped out all day from 3 glasses of wine.
Tell him, what do you tell his parents? Like, what's the reason
as to why?
We tell him what we know at that point.
Yeah.
We tell him the truth.
And that we're going to be waiting for the autopsy results.
So his body, his purple body, is still inside, dead. And she's like, what are you going to tell the parents? Now, that's not all. Listen to this.
I don't think you all understand who I am.
Okay. Well, tell me.
I mean, I've always been a straight-A student. I am an outstanding mother to my son.
Okay.
I excel at everything. I would not do that.
You wouldn't lock somebody in a suitcase?
Well, I didn't, like, completely lock it. I mean, I opened it with one finger. I left enough in there for him to get out.
Okay.
And I wasn't planning on going upstairs and going to sleep.
Okay, so going upstairs and going to sleep, that was an accident, too. Robin Drake, what is she saying? She's really digging her own grave with her own teeth. The more she talks, the deeper the grave gets, because she says, hey, you don't know who I am. I'm an all-A student. That sounds to me like when Deborah LaFave, who was charged with child molestation of young boys, basically argued, I'm too pretty to go to jail, or Ethan Couch, he mowed down a whole group of people on the side of the road, and he says, I'm too rich to go to jail. This one's saying, I shouldn't go to jail because I'm an straight A student.
Yeah, and she's also using interesting language here as well. She didn't say, I didn't do that. She said, I wouldn't do that. So she's distancing herself from the actual event itself. It's a classic thing we've seen in a lot of different murder trials and a lot of different murderers, that they've tried to distance themselves from their victims by using language that is like that. Again, her lack of effect during the entire process is profound, and it keeps focusing on her. She's not having any reaction that you expect from someone that just lost someone that's close to them, boyfriend, husband, anyone. She just seems completely unaffected by the entire thing, except the impact on her.
Stephanie Buffamonte, you spoke with lawyer number 9. What did you learn?
Yeah, so he was in court yesterday for a pre-trial hearing. That new lawyer is James Owens, and he was the person who saw that flyer and decided he wanted to defend Sarah Boone. And he was talking yesterday about what his defense is going to be. And he said he would like it to be battered spouse syndrome. And we know the trial is on October 7th. And because of all the delays with lawyer after lawyer after lawyer, then Sarah saying that she was going to defend herself, and now getting this latest attorney, the attorney had asked for a continuance so he could get time to get a forensic psychologist and other witnesses, because he has to file his motion for defense on the 9th of September, because you have to do that 30 days out. So now time is of the essence, and you can see it and hear it in that newest attorney's voice.
Segment 4. State's Attorney Andrew Bain says this was a horrific homicide. Today, justice was served with the conviction of Sarah Boone. Believe it or not, the so-called suitcase killer testified, quote, I looked over and saw him settling into the suitcase. I zipped him up. We thought it was funny and were joking about how he was small enough to fit inside the suitcase. Woman, he's stiff and purple. What's funny about that? Well, Sarah Boone, the so-called suitcase killer, is headed off to jail, and she will have plenty of time to think about what she did. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.